Amen, amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us to that place this morning. Powerful things for us to declare together, the goodness of God and the work of His Spirit in our lives. Well, as we turn to the Word this morning, let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. It's a very, very tiny little book, close to the end, after Hebrews and James, and then you get into 1 Peter. We're going to read the first 10 verses of that as we dig in together. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says this: "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The Word alive in us draws us together, builds us into a priesthood, a holy nation, a spiritual house, to bring the blessing and the power of the gospel, the story of Jesus and the truth of salvation into the world that we're placed. As the Word becomes alive in us, we are each changed, and we are changed together. Are you walking with God's people? Amen. God is good, and He is gracious, and He is at work within all of us. Well, what a wonderful story we got to hear this morning of how God is at work in Nadia's life, leading her and guiding her, showing her who He is. And it reminds us all of the different places that we see that happening through our missionaries: Yuri Nakano in Japan, Lindell Campbell Requia in Brazil, Cheryl Grinwald all over the world. Our teams that have gone to Tijuana and Kenya and Ethiopia and Brazil. Our young people that, again, who have gone to YWAM and Cape and Ray and college all over the place, learning and studying to understand who God is, to share that truth, that hope. God is at work all around us, in and through us. And as we walk together, we get to see His kingdom come to life in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. It's beautiful. It's a powerful thing to witness the movement of the Spirit of God in His people and in the world. Amen? Amen. It is exciting. I'm excited to see what God is doing. We see it happening here in our church. I'm seeing it happen in people's lives, in the stories I hear. We're called to be a part of bringing that forward, to live it out, to share it. And so that's what we've been exploring this year. Our theme has been the Word. And we've been exploring the power and the beauty and the transforming work of the Word. The things that God has spoken to us about himself, that we can understand him, know him, and we can walk with him in life and relationship. We looked at the words of this book and the coming of Jesus, the living word, who he was and what he taught us. Now as we come to the end of our ministry year here, we're coming to the impact of all of that, the power of the word alive in us, the result of that, what happens when God's word is rooted in our hearts and our minds, what happens to us when we choose to submit, to obey, to be changed and transformed by the work of the Spirit as it brings the word to life. What does that look like? What does it mean? And God led us in that study to the person of Peter, the apostle of Jesus. And a couple of weeks ago, we kind of walked through his story, the rock upon whom God was going to build his church. We saw in his journey the kind of person that God had called to lead, the things that Peter saw and experienced with Jesus, power and glory, miracles, and humility and brokenness in his own journey, and restoration and grace and mercy extended to him. Peter is a man that understands Jesus in deep and profound ways. And God chose him to lead his church, to show and teach others how to follow, how to walk together. And in that journey, in that ministry, Peter wrote us two letters to try to tell us how to do that. As he came to the end of his life, he realized this thing was going to continue to build, and it's become something he couldn't have even imagined. But his words are here, still here, speaking to us. What he saw the church to be, what God called him to lead. And so as we want to understand this, what it means for the word to come alive within us, we're looking at those letters of Peter, the things that he told us, and we want to hear his heart for discipleship. What does he care about? What's important to him? What does he want us to see, to know, to understand? And he began in the first chapter by painting for us a picture of the legacy of God's story. The prophets of old calling forward to us, telling us of who God is and what he has done and what he will do. The word of God spoken to them and given to us, calling forward to Jesus and to what he was going to do. And then last week, Pastor Scott took us through the next step, that the word alive in us will make us holy and call us to holiness. That the saving power of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins, makes us new and clean, and also calls us to live in a new way. We are saved and changed, and we are being made new. We are set free. And we still walk with the struggle against our sin nature, tempting us. And as we fill our hearts and our minds with the word, we are changed more and more, strengthened and protected and walking in step with our Father and our Creator. In love, peace, in joy and holiness as we were created to know. Peter has such profound and powerful words for us to hear, such a powerful call that he sees placed before us. And now here in chapter 2, he takes that call that was for each of us and shows us that it is for all of us. That the word alive in us is the word alive in each of us and all together. As we become the body of Christ, this new and living temple, holy and righteous and living in the world, bringing the love and grace of God to the people he calls us to serve. And he starts this out of a response to this holiness that God calls us to live and to know as his people. Chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore. And as we've said so many times, whenever you see a therefore, we have to ask, what's it there for? And he's calling back to those things that he said in chapter 1. Therefore, because of everything he has just said about the holiness of God that lives in you, therefore, rid yourselves of all hypocrisy and malice and deceit and envy and slander of every kind. Run away from these things. It's the power and work of the Spirit that makes us holy, that gives us the righteousness of Christ. But God has still given us free minds and wills to live and to act. We need to be conscious in our journey with Jesus, aware of our sinful nature and temptation, and ready in the strength of Jesus to choose to run away from these things. To choose to live in line with the Word. It's God's work and our choice to submit and respond to His work. Both at the same time. And Peter is telling us here that we are responsible as followers of Jesus to choose well. So he continues in verse 2, like newborn babies, he says, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As we follow, we must mature. We must grow up in our salvation, letting the Spirit work in us and making one good decision in a row at a time. Over and over and over again. That choice to humble ourselves, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and embrace the sanctifying work of Jesus again and again and again. And as we go, as we walk in that light, that choice gets easier and easier. As we become mature in Christ, living more and more in line with his nature, as his nature is revealed in us. And then this happens. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans and chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. As we follow, we listen. As we choose, we grow, and we are drawn together. What began in each of us is made real in all of us, that we would become one in him. Just as he is one with his follower. It is the very prayer of Jesus for us in that upper room that Peter himself heard him pray. Peter is speaking to us right out of his experience in that upper room, hearing Jesus pray these things over those disciples and over the church moving forward. He said, in John chapter 17, my prayer is not for these 12 apostles alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Powerful thing for him to say. He goes on, he says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Peter stood there and heard Jesus pray those things. And he's speaking that truth to us now. He understood the heart of Jesus in this. He had experienced the heart of Jesus in this, and he wants so much for us to know it too, that there is no me in the kingdom, it's a we. God's very own nature is three in one. Complete, perfect unity in relationship. His nature is relationship, and our nature was meant to be relationship too. That is what God restores in us. That's what we lost. Everything that sin has done is division and separation and isolation. Individualism and fear and selfishness and competition. Us against one another and against God Himself. Trying to carve out our own place, our own glory, our own security, our own peace. And the only place we can find it is not in emptying ourselves, as a Buddhist or a New Age philosophy would want us to do. God did not create us to be empty. Not to empty ourselves, but deny ourselves. To submit and humble ourselves and step into relationship with Him, whole and restored, that we can know relationship with each other. No selfishness, no fear, no competition, no individualism, pure joy, pure peace, pure love in eternal relationship with our Father and with one another, full and free in Jesus. As Peter calls us to see, he says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame.' There is no shame in submission to Christ, only joy to be found in humbling ourselves and accepting His grace. And then we are placed on top of that cornerstone, built together into this spiritual house, this place where the very glory of God dwells among us, through us, into the world around us." That is the church. We are the church, those living stones filled with the Spirit and built together into this place where God's presence dwells on earth in us. Amen. It's this amazing thing. But that message, that glory living in us, doesn't always connect, and Peter knows that. He's walked through that. He's been arrested. He's been beaten. Our story will not always be heard. It will not always be received. He says, "Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall." They stumble because they disobey the message, which is what they were destined for. "But you are a chosen people," he says. "A royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of this darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." What is the difference between someone who is in God's kingdom and someone who is not? What have we done to earn His favor, to earn His grace? Nothing. God calls all out of darkness and into His wonderful light. We were not a people, but by His grace alone, now we are His people. We had not received mercy, and now we have received mercy for His purpose and His glory alone, for His kingdom and His eternal throne alone. The Word of God is alive in us, is the grace and glory given to us by His hand for His purposes. And so if we're going to live there, we have to live there together. Because that is what He has declared it will be. The Word of God alive in us is the life of His church coming together in His Spirit, built upon the cornerstone of Jesus. His work, His blood, His life surrendered for us. Everything is built upon that. First and foremost, under and supporting everything else. Christ alone. We sing it, cornerstone. The weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord. Lord of all. That is the power of the Word alive in us, the truth of the Word alive in us. It's the life of His church alive in the world, and it's something we strive to see and know and understand here and live here in this church. Last week we had our wonderful newcomers lunch, and it was so wonderful to be able to share the story of what God has been doing in our church and the story of LFC. The story of LFC is the story of God's kingdom. It's the story of community and relationship in the kingdom, the legacy of believers coming together to make disciples and share the hope of the gospel. Our church is a part of something called the North American Baptist Conference. And it's rooted into the very core of our association. This heart and belief that we are called to follow Jesus together. It all began back in 1843 when Conrad Fleischmann baptized 5 new believers and began the German Church of the Lord. And just a few years later, in 1851, the ministry had already grown and multiplied, and 4 German Baptist churches chose to come together to start the German Baptist Conference, which eventually became the NAB. Believing from the very beginning that they were called to and that they could accomplish more for the kingdom together than they could on their own. That God's vision for the church is His people working and walking together wherever they are, sharing in the life and ministry of the Spirit. And that root and foundation has never wavered as our conference grew and grew over the next 175 years, with now over 400 churches across the United States and Canada and spread all around the world. Ministry spread all across the globe, long and faithful ministry in Cameroon, in Nigeria, in Brazil, in Romania, in Japan, in Mexico, in the Philippines. We are a part of that legacy, that ministry. It's in the very DNA of this church that we are each here by God's grace, and together we are built into something far greater, a spiritual house where the glory of God dwells. And we share it across the whole world. And that's just one denomination among so many beautiful expressions of the body of Christ. In every denomination, in every church that follows Jesus, it's not just us. One of my favorite stories is the prophet Jeremiah was feeling overwhelmed and frustrated and hurt. He felt like he was all alone in the mission and ministry of God. And he cries out to God, "Why am I doing this by myself? I can't do this alone." And God cares for him, but He also chastises him a little bit. And He says, "I have like hundreds of prophets stored away. It's not just you. Chill out." We can get so focused on our own journey and the work that God is calling us to do, and it's important, but we can never lose sight of the fact that God is at work in churches all around this city, all around the world, stretching through history into eternity. The mission, the ministry of God is something we are called to be faithful to here, but it is happening all around us all the time. God is at work and His Spirit is moving in powerful ways. Lives are being transformed. The gospel is being preached. People are being saved and baptized and transformed and coming in to be a part of this thing called the church. It's a beautiful and a powerful thing that we get to share, and that is the power of the Word of God alive in the hearts of His people. Sharing in the glory of the kingdom of God together as He works through us to bring His love, His presence, His hope, His forgiveness, and new life into the lives of the people around us and all around the world. It's a powerful and glorious thing to behold and so humbling to be a part of. It's overwhelming to see what the church looks like as it comes together. And it's not perfect. The church, as it turns out, is made up of people. And people make mistakes. The Spirit does not. But people do. Even as we are saved, we still walk with that temptation to sin. We still struggle with selfishness, with agendas, with trying to assert power or take power or get attention when we shouldn't be. It's all God's glory all the time. And we try to take that for ourselves still, even within these walls sometimes. We are people walking together in brokenness and forgiveness. And we need to share that forgiveness with one another as we do. It is a humbling and overwhelming thing to be a part of, but it is good. It is good to be a part of the people of God, the church, to share in just a taste of what glory it will be to worship together in His presence fully for all eternity. So today I ask you, do you feel it? Do you sense it? Do you hear it? Are you called towards it to join with God's people, to be one of those living stones built into that spiritual house? Joining with God's people in the work He is doing in the world, in unity, worshiping together, just like Jesus prayed for us and like Peter calls us to. Do you hunger for the Word to come to life in you, to make you a part of the people of God? Come with us and see what it means to walk together with Him. He's inviting you to. We want your voice here too. Speaking into that together. Inviting us to follow. Do you hear Him? I do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your church. We thank You for Your Word and for the work that You are doing in us by Your Spirit. That You have spoken these powerful truths to us. We hear that prayer of Jesus for unity in His people. That together we would be one just as He was one with His Father. God, we want to see that. We want to live it. We want to know that unity together. Draw us together by Your Spirit. Bind our hearts together. We want to walk in the mission and vision that You have. Father God, we thank You that it does not rely on any of each of us, but that it's all of us, and even more, that it is all around the world. Hundreds of millions of followers of Jesus, empowered by Your Spirit to bring the love and hope of Jesus into the world. God, we thank You that we are a part of that legacy. We thank You for the NAB and for the faithfulness of those believers over 175 years, almost two centuries. But so much more in all the denominations and churches around the world that submit to Jesus. It is power beyond imagining. The glory of God revealed in the world and His people. Father God, we are in awe that we get to be a part of that. We pray that we would be found faithful, that we would each work to build unity, to walk in grace and forgiveness, hope and love, holding each other accountable and pushing one another forward into holiness. That together, our community and the world around us would see that Jesus is God, that He is good, and He is enough. We thank You and we praise You for what You are doing in our church. We ask that You'd speak and move and that we would hear and listen and obey in Jesus' name. Amen.